Hello, dear listener. It's your man, Dave Hill. Before we get into today's episode, I just wanted to say that today is a special episode in that it is part of the Max Fun Drive. As you've heard on the show, we've been for a while now part of the amazing, wonderful, the best ever podcasting network, the Maximum Fun Network. They do all sorts of great shows, including this one, of course. And they do all sorts of great stuff. They're great folks, and there's a great community, global community around them, and we're honored to be a part of it. And as part of it, you know, there's fundraising. Max Fund's business model is artist-owned, audience-supported. That means when you become a member, you are directly affecting our ability to continue this show, as well as Max Fund's ability to plan for other future and awesome shows. So, today, we're reaching out to you and saying, hey, kick in some money if you can and help us keep gas in the tank, both for this show and for Max Fun, the network that we're a part of. And now, right now, you're probably like, hey, Dave, how can I do that? Okay, great. Choose a monthly amount that's comfortable for you, whatever that is. The majority of people give $5 a month or $10 a month, and some upgrade to $20. $35 or even $100 per month or more. It's really all about what works for you. Now, so I can't tell you what amount, whatever, you know, $5, you go like, I lose that in my laundry. So maybe you want to go with that. You won't even notice it. But anyway, so give it a thought. And if you love this show as much as we love bringing it to you, go to MaximumFun.org and contribute however you can. All right, now let's get into it. Chris, that had an explosion sound. Okay. Welcome to Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident with me, Dave Hill, the pride of Cleveland and beyond. And this is no joke, Chris Gersbeck.
Yes.
I went through a Dairy Queen drive-thru last night and was given an extra spoon, I think, because of my celebrity, my zealous celebrity.
Was that your first outing, like getting food somewhere? Not in your home?
No, I go to the grocery store. I've picked up takeout. I go to the liquor store. I go to the beer store, which is different than the liquor store. Even though sometimes I do buy beer at the liquor store.
Wait, do they have dedicated beer stores there?
There's just a really good beer store out this way, like where you can get, you know, beers that, you know, a fancy lad like myself would enjoy. International beers, Chris. Craft beers. So I'm more, you know, I know people are perking up and they're like, well, what beers are you talking about, Dave? I want to drink what you're drinking. I drink mostly German, Belgian, and English beers, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I drank, my favorite was Six Point. You ever have that?
Oh, I like Six Point.
Six Point Sweet Action, that was my go-to for a good 4 years.
I like Sweet Action in when it's you get it in the can.
Yeah.
As anyone who's listened to the show before, you know, we're flying by the seat of our pants. So I didn't come here today, Chris, expecting to lash out at the New York bar scene or whatever you want to call it. But Sweet Action, because most bars in New York City do a horrible job, as the greatest city on earth, in my estimation, does so many things great. Beer is horrible in New York City.
Like on tap, you mean?
On tap, because they don't clean the taps. They don't do a good job. They don't care. I don't know what's going on, but basically, if you drink tap beer in New York and it's not at a reputable place that gives a shit, which is extremely rare, you're just going to be drinking beer that's full of gross sulfur, whatever bacteria. And so basically when I walk into a bar and or Sweet Action is on tap, it's pretty much guaranteed that it's a shitty bar that doesn't clean their taps.
Yeah.
And it's, so I only drink it. All by way of saying, great beer, will not drink it at a bar ever.
Do you remember that place, Bunga's Den? Did you ever do any shows there?
Bunga's Den? What is that?
It was like some dive bar in near Union Square that had like comedy shows in the back room.
Oh.
But they...
Den was on 14th Street?
Yeah, 14th and like 6th, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I did do one or two shows there, and I can't remember what happened. Because I remember thinking at the time, oh, note to self, try to do shows here because I live so close.
Oh, yeah.
I can take me 5 minutes to walk there, do a show. Yeah. And then I think it closed down.
Yeah.
Well, there's the problem.
Well, my point is that their beer taps were notoriously gross. And so anytime I ordered a beer there, it had to be in a bottle. But
it's so frustrating because it's like, you know, and I know I lash out in America all the time. I'm a real piece of work when it comes to criticizing my own country. But just, you know, okay, you have horrible racism. Okay. You have a horrible gun situation.
I thought you were going to say we have horrible beer taps, but...
Oh, that's where I'm headed.
Okay.
Healthcare, absolute joke compared to the rest of the industrialized world. And next, if I had to say after that, beer in New York City. I will say other cities do a great job. Portland, Seattle, Philadelphia, Cleveland. Many cities do a great job. This is the mystery. I don't know why New York can't be bothered. I think a big part of it is because... Bud owns most of the taps in New York City, so it's a big corporate, and they run the majority of the taps in New York, and they're a big shitty corporation that makes shitty beer on its best day.
Yeah, even their good beer is horrible.
Yeah, like, so
Stella, I think they own.
Yeah, Stella. Ugh, you can't drink Stella anywhere. You wind up in the... Oh, it tastes like piss, first of all. Anyway, yeah, and if you walk into a bar, if I see like a Goose Island tap, and again, nothing, Goose Island out of a bottle, fine, whatever. If you see it on tap in New York, it's pretty much, okay, this place sucks. And literally, I walk in and I see that fucking tap sticking out. I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so here I am, just being a huge bitch, as usual. But I was bitching about beer. I'm so glad I got the beer bitching off of my out of my system, because it was just it's really chapping my ass. But
are you a big beer drinker though? I feel like I've only seen you drink wine.
Well, I do like beer. I drink wine. I've been drinking more. I tend to drink beer when I'm, not to sound fancy, but when I'm like sort of out of the country, when I'm on vacation, which is very rare, and when I'm in a pandemic bunker, I drink beer. So I have been drinking a bit more beer these past several months when I've been in exile here. But no, I tend to drink wine because I am trying to stay beautiful. Well, you know, I only have a few years left, Chris, before it all falls apart for me in the looks department. I mean, 20 years tops, I'm going to be looking smoking hot, and I want to milk them for all they're worth.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
You know, so but also, like, I've noticed, and maybe it's because I have the time to really notice now, is that just with each passing day, my tolerance just goes out the window. I can't party like I used to. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Like, the day might come when I'll be out partying. Somebody like, what can I get you, Dave? And I'll say, just a glass of tap water, please. And
that's how I am now, just because I stopped drinking. But
yeah, but you, from the sounds of it, it sounds like you packed in a lot of fun on the front end of it. Mm-hmm. Like you drank a lot of stuff. Mostly beer, would you say?
Yeah, mostly. I've never been a big liquor or wine drinker.
And then so you got it out of the way. Your dance card was full.
Yeah.
You finished with. You're like, all right, I'm done. I don't know. Now I'm accusing you of having been a big drinker when I really have no idea. I'm just going.
I wasn't a big drinker. It was more just like, you start working at a bar and doing comedy and stuff, and then you end up having at least one beer every night.
Yeah.
And it just adds up. So
it all adds up. And now look at you. You're like a svelte.
Mm-hmm.
Before, I mean, you were like 700 pounds. No, just kidding. Totally kidding.
I was like 225 pounds, I think, at my peak.
And now you're just a little thing.
You know, you get like those like memory notifications on Facebook. Like, I'll see pictures of myself and I'm like, why didn't anyone say anything? Like, why didn't anyone, call an intervention for me?
I have the same feelings, not about you, but about myself.
Yeah.
Pretty much, I'll, not always, but there's, I tend to historically fluctuate, not as much anymore. Now I'm trying to just stay lean and, I'm probably putting on some pandemic weight, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we all are.
But still pretty, pretty smoking hot. Like some pictures. Like the picture that the Cleveland Plain Dealer keeps using of me over and over. Where I'm on stage at like something like New York Comedy Festival in like 2012 or whatever the year is. And I just look like...
Yeah,
garbage.
You're kind of sweaty, and
I'm fatter, and I need to shave. I was like probably going through like occasionally. It's rare that photos will pop up. We've discussed this of photos where I have a lot of whiskers, and it was probably and when you see the photos, you're like, oh, I see why you shave regularly, because you look horrible with whiskers. It's not like a rugged look. It's more like a. Like, here's a guy who's missing a chromosome look, or has an extra chromosome look. One of the two. Anyway, gosh, what were we talking about? Anyway, very special episode today. This is the Max Fun Drive episode. Well, we're going to do a couple here. And so we wanted to hone in and just also, we're going to be making some changes around here gradually that we're going to roll out. Combine all our goodness into one smorgasbord that we're still figuring out. What does that mean? We'll let you know as we know. But basically, we've been doing the gosh darn goddamn Dave Hill show again, and we want to kind of smush the two shows together. How are we going to do that? We're not sure yet. Will it affect you in any way? No. It's just going to make our lives easier.
It'll make everyone's lives easier.
Everyone emotionally. And why am I even bringing it up if I'm not even giving details? I don't know. I guess it's in the way that, anyone brings anything up and then eventually they're like, all right, here's what's going on. Mm-hmm. Like when I first came out as a half man, half pony.
I remember that. That was a fun press release, right?
Yeah, when I was like, I love horseback riding. What does that mean? Anyway, no, I'm not a pony in any way.
Have you ever read about the bronies? Do you know that whole thing?
What are the bronies?
It's like men who are really into My Little Pony.
The toy My Little Pony?
Yeah, it's like a whole subculture. It's bizarre.
What are they like playing with the My Little Pony?
They're like playing with them. There's like all these My Little Pony shows like on Netflix and stuff that they watch.
Boy, oh boy.
And they're not they're not even marketed towards these guys. They're marketed towards children, but the men love it.
So, but then do these men find each other and be like, oh, yeah. Hey,
they have conventions and everything. It's crazy.
And do the men date each other? Like, what's the,
and they just I don't know.
Get together and chat about it? Why is it just men? I mean, I'm not being, but like, why is it just men? I don't understand.
I don't understand it either. I've seen YouTube videos of like brony conventions.
Brony conventions.
Crazy.
I'm picturing like a lot of khakis and fanny packs and backpacks.
Yeah.
And like glasses with the straps so you don't lose them.
Yeah. No, it's more like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, like what, like a kind of like a 90s raver mixed with Divine,
like the John Waters,
yeah,
legendary person,
yeah.
We could really use Divine right now, couldn't we?
Oh, God,
I mean, more than ever,
we still have John Waters, and
I love John Waters.
I feel like if he ran for president, I would be a very strong supporter of his.
Me too. Oh my God. I was thinking about it today, like some, you know, because these are very hard times we're going through. I think for everybody, regardless of what side of history you're on, but let's say it's slightly hard if you're on the right, since things are so shitty. If you're on the right side of history, but I was out for a killer run earlier, and I think I maybe tore something because my what's that called? What's that part above? What you're like my calf or below my calf? I don't know where
your
it
heel?
Is. Between my ankle and my calf muscle, something hurts.
Achilles tendon.
I'm not sure. It seems bad though. I feel like I might be sidelined for a little while, based on. I felt like around mile 3 something, around mile 37. But I was out for a killer run and I was listening to the Broken Record podcast. Do you listen to that?
I have, yeah.
Malcolm Gladwell, Rick Rubin.
Yeah.
Bruce Hedlum.
You were on that once, weren't you?
Twice, but close. I was on it twice, Chris, but thank you for noticing just the one time. I was on it twice. No one's ever done that before. I was on it twice.
Okay.
I did one episode fully me the whole time, and then I sort of chimed in on another one. So, you're asking, wait, didn't I hear you on Revisionist History? Well, yes, that's understandable. There's confusion. It's just that they released it as both episodes of Revisionist History and Broken Record Podcast, whatever. Anyway, but I digress. But I was listening to it this morning, and it was Andre 3000 talking to Rick Rubin, and it was just inspiring, and I was sort of like, oh, like there's amazing things in this world still, and I'm gonna be inspired by all that and just keep going. And then he was talking about, which was kind of cool, is he was saying he was saying like, oh, you know, I got invited on this podcast and I realized, you know, I had bought these Malcolm Gladwell books and I had never read them, so I thought out of respect I should at least read Malcolm Gladwell books. So he's like, I read Outliers and it was awesome and, you know, blew my mind. And then I was like, oh my God, that's so, then, you know, if I can just get into full name dropping again, because Malcolm Gladwell is of course a friend of mine, I was like, oh my God, I want to email Malcolm and tell him how cool this is. Of course, I'm sure he's heard it. And also, like, you know, him hearing Andre 3000 read his book is, you know.
Yeah.
That's every day to him. He's getting, you know, nonstop. Yeah. You know, stuff like that. Anyway. I don't know what my point is. Put an explosion sound here, and it'll sort of like that. Okay, good.
Okay.
It'll kind of close that thought.
So, Dave, you mentioned earlier, it's the Max Fun Drive right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of worthy causes going on right now. We know some of our listeners, some of you guys, are not exactly in the financial position to become Max Fund members, and we completely understand that. But if you are in the position to invest in this show, we really appreciate you supporting our ability to make it. And there's a lot of different levels you can join at as well.
Yes.
There's $5 to $10 a month. Some people support at $20 a month or more. We're truly grateful for whatever level of support you're comfortable with.
Yeah, you just go to MaximumFun.org/join and make it happen.
And there's a really cool, you can only get this by becoming a member for $10 a month, but there's a Dave Hill enamel pin that you can get.
Oh my God.
It's got your
hair. I don't even have one of those.
I don't think either of us do, but they're really
cool. We got to get one of these pins.
Yeah. So you can, if you sign up for $10 a month, you'll get one of those. But there's also other stuff. There's a Maximum Fun game pack, which includes a set of Maximum Fun branded dice. Ooh, that sounds fun. In a velvet bag with the Rocket logo, as well as a deck of custom Maximum Fun inspired playing cards. So,
amazing.
Yeah. Maximum Fun's great. They have so many great shows. We're truly
so many great shows.
Proud to be on the network.
There's the Art of Process with Amy Mann and Ted Leo, which I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
There's Dr. Game Show, of course. There's with Bullseye with Jesse Thorne. Classic. An absolute classic.
JV Club with Janet Varney.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Oh, why am I blanking on her name?
You asshole.
Lori Kilmartin and Jackie Cashian's show is great. The Lori and Jackie show.
Oh, totally. Judge John Hodgman, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's endless. There's so many great podcasts. You just go there and you're like, hey, which incredible podcast do I want to listen to today? And you start listening.
Yeah, and our other show, So You're Canadian, is still up on the website.
Still there.
Which we don't do anymore, but, you know, still there. If we ever do happen to get, like, a big get, like a Alanis Morissette or Celine Dion or something, I think we'll do another episode.
We have the microphones already.
Yeah.
So many great shows.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. And if, again, if you're supporting us on Patreon, feel free to... go and support us on Maximum Fun instead, because we're all about consolidating in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the bunker. And anyway, where were we? Chris, you know, it seems crazy not to do this since I am actually in Northeastern Ohio still. I've been here, feels like 17 years now.
It feels like a really long time, yeah.
It's messing with my mind.
You're starting to look more like Ohioan. Is that the term? Ohioan?
I don't know what you mean by that. My actual features?
I think maybe it's just because every time I see you, you're wearing a hockey jersey lately.
Oh, you mean just my manner of dress?
Yeah. I mean, like, fit, like you don't physically, like your
facial... I'm not changing physically.
Yeah, your bone structure hasn't changed, but...
Well, here's what's going on. When I came here, I thought we'll be here a month. Tops. So I packed just like a few little things. A pair of velvet pants, a pair of jeans. These are literally the things I packed. A pair of jeans, a pair of velvet pants. Pair of track pants. That's it for pants. Done. And one sport coat. And I packed a couple button-down shirts. And then a hoodie. A couple hockey jerseys. I would say three. And some t-shirts.
What did you pack for Lucy? Anything?
Raincoat. And I think maybe a winter coat, because it was March.
Oh, yeah.
And... And so since I've been here, I was disturbed to see how many... See, this is the thing. Normally, you know, when I'm at home in New York, stuff is showing up in the mail a lot. A lot of surprises come in the mail, things I wasn't expecting, things I never asked for. And so now that I'm here and my mail is being forwarded and not very well, I should stress, I don't know where my mail is. Most of it's not coming to me, I can tell you that. And so I realized that I miss getting stuff in the mail. So people have been sending me things, which is really nice. But I've also ordered, I've bought in probably 5, 6, 7 t-shirts and 2 hockey jerseys. Stuff I don't need at all. But
you have to buy another suitcase to get everything back home.
Not quite that much. I bought a new pair of running shoes. Excited about that. Though I slept on it. I put a pair of plaid running shoes. I thought I'd get the sassiest pair they had that Brooks makes. And then in my estimation, they were the red and black plaid running shoes. So I was like, I'm going to get those and it's going to be great. And then I slept on it. And then when I went back to buy them, they were gone.
Oh, man.
So I got a pair that's not all that sassy.
That's a great story. You should tell that on the Moth.
Yeah. No, it's good. It has it all. It has, I mean, because there's excitement, there's discovery. People are sad at one point. People are definitely bored at another. And anyway, but my point is, the reason I bring up Cleveland is as long as I'm here, we it'd be crazy not to do the crime blotter.
Yes. It's been a few weeks.
Yeah. So here we go. Parma home health aide accidentally sets... Oh, very quickly, I should say, the crime blotter, if you're not familiar, is wherein we take a look at some of America's lesser crimes, which just so happen to have taken place in northeastern Ohio. First one, this one, oh. Parma home health aide accidentally sets minivan on fire. This is from the Seven Hills Police Blotter.
It sounds like an insurance scam. I'm calling it.
On June 15th, wait, what's today? This is yesterday. Police were dispatched...
July 15th or June?
Oh, June 15th. I'm sorry, I got all excited. Never mind. On June 15th, police were dispatched to a Beacon Hill drive home regarding a car fire. Arriving, officers found a 2002 Chevy Astro van, which was parked legally on the street with smoke coming out of the front passenger side window. While the officer attempted to use their fire extinguishers, they were unable to gain access into the minivan. Oh, this is a caper. The Seven Hills Fire Department did extinguish the fire. It turned out the Chevy belonged to a home health aide who was working at a nearby home. The Parma man said he came out. I knew it. Parma man said he came out for a cigarette break about an hour earlier. The fire started in the front passenger seat. He was asking for it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Did they? Oh, God. I've never had to. I've never owned a car, so I've never had to make any kind of insurance claim. But, like, if that happens, do they give you money for the price of the car to get a new one? Or how does that work?
If you set your car on fire by smoking in it?
Yeah. That's just denied.
It's a very good question. I'm going to say I don't know.
Have you ever owned a car?
I'm glad you asked. I have owned a total of 1 car in my life. My mom gave me a car once. Mm-hmm. Not to sound like a fancy lad. It was her car. She got a new car. The old one was beat to shit. So she was like, here, just take it, you piece of garbage. Mm-hmm.
Take the BMW. She didn't
say. No, it was a Toyota Camry.
Oh, that's a solid car.
And I can't remember the year, but and she gave me the Camry, and so I had it for a little while. Then what happened, Dave? I was at a recording studio in Cleveland making some hot rock music.
This you is went a long for a time. Cigarette break?
No, we left to get dinner or something. If I'm remembering correctly, we left to get dinner and we came back, the car was gone. So, and it was like something I couldn't really process. Like someone had stolen. I mean, I don't know why I'm like dragging out the dramatic conclusion. Someone stole the car. It's not too hard to figure out what happened. Someone stole the car.
Did you get it back?
I did get it back. I'm glad you asked. I did get it back. I got it back within a few days. I got it back, and it had been, it was like at some, you know, I forget, like some lot somewhere, you know, where stolen cars go. And in the car was like all this stuff. The guys, I think, and a guy had been living in it seemingly, and like there was crack pipes, like where they took, you know, like fashioned out on big pins, and like his social security, all his information, and like clothes and stuff in the background, and like it was dirty in a way that suggested someone had been living in it. And this is over a course of just several days. They had really gone to town in the car. So I got the car and I went back into the police and I was like, hey, this guy's cards, all his info is in the car. I'm no detective, but could this be the guy who stole the car? And they were just like, I don't know. They just couldn't. They basically just couldn't be bothered. They were like, that would take effort. And we would have to step out from behind this desk. Maybe there's a different answer to that. And it's not just sheer laziness.
Any interaction I've ever had with the police over something so simple has been met with like, well, what do you want me to do about it? That seems to be the attitude. So,
yeah.
That's a whole other topic, though.
That's a whole other topic. They can, plus, like, you know, looking back on it, I'm glad that they had that reaction, because it's like whoever stole the car has enough problems that probably getting arrested for stealing my car was not going to help them. Not going to be good. Though, I don't know. What do I know?
It happened to my parents, I think, had a car get stolen when I was a little kid. And the only thing I remember about that is that when they got the car back, the guy left cassette tapes in there. And the one cassette that I remember seeing was Simon and Garfunkel's Greatest Hits, which was interesting because my parents were fans of Paul Simon. And so was this guy. I just thought it was funny that a guy who stole cars would also be a fan of Simon.
Had something in common with your parents.
And that, yeah.
I still remember a lot of... I've had CDs twice stolen from cars. And I remember the ones that were stolen to this day, like 20 odd years later.
What were they?
In about 1999 or 2000, in that range, my friend's car got broken into in Washington, D.C. And in it, my copy of Corner Shop's When I Was Born for the Seventh Time, which contained the hit Brimful of Asha, which I still enjoy to this day.
Great song.
Was in the car. Corrosion and Conformity, America's Volume Dealer, which is not one of their better albums, was also in the car.
Could not be more different than Corner Shop.
I've always been all across the map. This is the thing, Chris, about me. Always had eclectic tastes. Always. And then another time I had loaned a bunch of CDs to my friend and his car got broken into and all the CDs got stolen. And Monster Magnet Super Judge got stolen. I remember that. I can't remember the other ones that got stolen, actually. I think maybe Teenage Fan Club, possibly.
I used to carry around a Discman in high school, and I had like one of those little...
Of course you did.
One of those little leather books that you put like 25 CDs in. And I went to go see Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. And I left that little thing of CDs in a movie theater. Never to be seen again. Yeah, sucked.
That sucks. Oh, you lost all your jams.
Lost all my jams. I think, I don't really remember that movie, but I think I walked out of it disappointed in the movie itself and then realized in the process I lost pretty much my entire CD collection at the time.
I liked the first Austin Powers movie, I think was good.
It's great.
And then I think it, the second one, I think I remember liking also. And then the one, what's it called? Gold Member? That one's, then it was over.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how it goes. You go back to the well too many times. It's like,
comedy sequels are just always, they're really hard to pull off.
It's amazing. And they end up highlighting what was so good about the first.
Yeah.
The first, like you go, like The Hangover, you're like, oh, that was entertaining. But you think, you don't go, oh, that's a great movie. You're just like, I enjoyed that. That was funny.
Yeah.
And then you see The Hangover 2, and you're like, oh my gosh, the first Hangover movie was amazing. and took the shitty second one to show you how good the first one was.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's every time, like, I was really excited to see Anchorman 2 because I love Anchorman, and I was pretty disappointed in that too. Wayne's World 2 also disappointed in. I don't know, it's just, I guess it's hard to pull that off.
It's hard to go back to the well. Well, not to drag Andre 3000 back into this, but he was saying that about, like, he's like, when you're a kid playing in your room with your toys and you're having fun, you know, and you've created this world with your toys, and then your mom opens the door and is like, Andre, what are you doing? He's like, the world disappears instantly.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's what success does. And that's why stuff starts to suck, because it gets harder and harder to go back to that world. So basically, Wayne's World, the first one, they're like, hey, let's have some fun. And then the second one, they're like, hey, that first one did really well. Let's make this one do really well. Yeah. And then they make a shitty movie. And it happens. Oh, it's why, like, Metallica will probably never make another good record.
Yeah.
If you've ever liked Metallica, I don't know if you
understand
on that.
Yeah.
But basically, they can't ever get back to that place of being.
Does any band really do that, though? I feel like there's always the best bands seem to break up and then never do anything again.
I would say that the Beastie Boys succeeded in making great music. True. Throughout their career. I don't think they ever started to suck.
No, they never put out a bad album. Yeah.
Like, they just, I feel like they constantly were able to, like, find that place that you need to and make at least compelling stuff. Maybe it's not always the record that you want to put on, but I don't think I ever heard anything from them where I was just like, this is absolute bullshit.
Yeah, I know. Did you watch that documentary? them doing their stage show.
No, where can I see that?
I think it's on Apple TV, which we got a free trial of. So we signed up.
Are you kidding me?
Mike Jones directed it.
And I got to go on Apple. Is it called the Beastie Boys? It's called the Beastie Boys Story.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, you mother. I got to go on Apple TV to watch it?
Yeah. Well, you don't.
Apple TV?
You don't have to have an actual Apple TV. I think it's like an app you can get.
Can I get it on my Roku?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, I'm in. I'm going to watch it. I just listened to The Beast. Not to bring up, keep just bringing up the same things as always. Broken Record Podcast, The Beastie Boys were just on that.
Oh.
Like
recently?
Yeah, they were talking to Rick Rubin, and they hadn't said,
oh, yeah,
they hadn't spoken in 20 years.
Well, that's interesting, yeah, because in the documentary, they don't paint Rick Rubin in the best light. They kind of make him seem like opportunistic, I guess.
Yeah, I think they had a falling out.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember hearing one of them said Rick got funny with the money.
Yeah.
Or something that was the line. And then so they were talking, and it's kind of funny because Adam Horowitz is like kind of not in the, he's not like, hey, what's up? He's kind of like a shitty mood during the conversation. And then he kind of, he never really fully lightens up. Mike D is a little lighter. But yeah, but I really like, Beastie Boys are one of those groups where I don't sit around and think of my feelings about them too much. But then whenever they come out, I'm like, oh, they're great.
Yeah.
And not to brag, but I've done shows with Adam Horowitz a few times with Bridget Everett. He plays
in her band. That's right. Yeah.
And he's an absolute delight. So there's a personal connection as well, if I made name drop. Yeah. We were talking about Steve Miller once. We were talking about how much we like Steve Miller,
mm-hmm.
and talking about what was the best Steve Miller song. And what I remember, what's that?
What was the verdict?
I think he said "Fly Like an Eagle," and I think I was like thinking more of like his kind of pop hits. And then Adam Horowitz said "Fly." If I'm getting this right, I think he said "Fly Like an Eagle," and I was like, "Yeah, you're right. You can't really, because that's like so badass." But I remember we were talking about it, and I was like, I had this thought as we were standing there. I was like, "This guy is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's amazing to me.
That is amazing.
That's pretty sweet.
Seems so like." They were just, have you ever seen footage of the Beastie Boys when they were like 14 on public access, when they were like still playing instruments and stuff? It's so like, it's so fascinating to watch them like literally just like look like kids, but they're still somehow the same personalities that we like all know and love, but they just look so little. And it's, they just seem like such a genuinely like they were just really excited just to be on TV, even though it was just like a public access show. It's on YouTube. You can look it up. I forget what the name of the actual public access show was, but they were cool.
Yeah, they were onto something for show.
Are we still doing Crime Blotter? I forget.
Oh, I think we got up. Make sure you keep the Crime Blotter music going. I think basically this show is, you know, we should call it Off the Rails, because it just constantly goes off the rails, especially when we only have a few minutes left here.
Uh-huh.
Let's get in one more crime.
Okay.
Okay. Resident fighting a tree, brick wall, and car was, surprisingly, drunk. This is from the Brooklyn Police Blotter. Not Brooklyn, New York. Don't be silly. That's Brooklyn, the Cleveland suburb. Disorderly conduct, Ridge Road. On June 27th, police were dispatched to the area of Ridge Road and Glencoe Avenue regarding a man wearing only brown pants, unsuccessfully fighting a tree, brick wall, and car. An arriving officer located the aggressive fellow, who was clearly highly intoxicated. Not only did he lose all three bouts with the inanimate objects, but the Brooklyn resident was arrested for disorderly conduct. How can you...
I like whoever wrote that. It has a good sense of humor, though.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Wearing only... I like the detail of wearing only brown pants. I don't know if I've ever been that drunk.
Me neither. Yeah, I don't think I've never... I mean, I'm not, I don't think I've ever tried to fight anyone, but definitely not, inanimate objects.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
Did he...
I do like that he was... I think of any time I've been that drunk, I've been probably so close to falling asleep that sleep just really took over in the end.
Yeah, that's how I would get too. I remember like maybe 15 years ago walking home from some show, and I drank way too much, and seeing a mattress on the sidewalk and being like, well, I could walk another 5 minutes to my home, or I could just sleep on this mattress. I just forced myself to keep walking. But
oh yeah, I'm glad you didn't sleep on that mattress.
Yeah, the thought crosses your mind. It's just, you know, it's pretty bad. That's probably, yeah, that's when I've hit my rock bottom.
That's rock bottom. Well, no, you almost did, because you went
almost.
You went home. You went home. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Well, it seems like we're, should we drive this home into the podcasting sunset? Before we go, let's first say thank you so much for listening. And let's remind you again, this is a Max Fun Drive episode. Max Fun, of course, is the incredible podcasting network that we're a part of that helps bring you this incredible, incredible show. And I want to say thanks again to everyone who has gone out of their way to support the show as a Max Fun member. You're truly the reason we're able to continue creating the show, and we can't thank you enough. If you would like to support the show, if you haven't had a chance to become a member yet, you can do so at MaximumFun.org/join. And again, if you're supporting us on Patreon, we encourage you, if you're up for it, to support us on Maximum Fun instead. Switch your support over there.
We'll be phasing the Patreon out.
Gradually. once everyone just fled it entirely. Because we just want to have all the goodness in one place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's
better for everyone.
It helps us in our plot for world domination. Mm-hmm. So we'll be back next week with some hot pod action. And don't miss us on Monday nights with the Gosh Darn / Goddamn Dave Hill Show, which I think we're going to meld into this one. Everything's just going to get so goopy, Chris. It's so
scary.
Just podcasting goopiness. Anyway, I think that about does it.
Yeah.
Let's play Death to Death Metal.
Okay.
All right, sweet.
Cool.
Death to death metal. actually kind of like death metal.
Quiet, we're still recording.